Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. Shout praises to the Lord, everyone on this earth. Be joyful and sing as you come into worship the Lord. You know the Lord is God. He created us and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep in his pasture. Be thankful and praise the Lord as you enter his temple. The Lord is good. His love and faithfulness will last forever.
Well, let's set an order first then, should we? Okay. Lindley, you're relatively new to the church. What do you enjoy about church in general?
Well, I like that church sort of challenges me to think about life and sort of makes me stop and reflect on what I'm doing day to day. And just makes me think about my interactions with other people and my relationships.
What about ACPC specifically?
Well, I really like the people in ACPC. I like the social side as well. I really enjoy our Wednesday Bible study groups and our games nights and other one-off events like our fundraiser dinners and church camp. I really like that, you know, church is there to challenge me to think about life, but I also think it's really awesome that ACPC is a sort of warm, friendly, family supportive environment while it's also challenging.
Was there anything that surprised you about church?
I guess it's a little bit less formal than I expected, which is a good thing for me. And I was surprised at how diverse our congregation is. I think there's so many people with really interesting stories and people with a wide range of interests and backgrounds.
Why did you decide to get involved?
Just to help out, really. I think you should always help out when you can, and like when you help out, you also get the side benefit. So if you get to know people better and you get to grow yourself, and yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, thank you. Peter.
Oh, hello.
Sorry, is this a bit... what do you do as tech?
As tech, I mean, all the mics we're using, the sound system, they basically set up everything. Oh, sorry, I should probably use them, eh? So they basically set up all of the equipment that allows us to, I guess, get the music out and also to get the speaker's voice, you know, amplify the sound. And also, obviously, the slides and things for the music and for the speaker.
Why is it so important?
I mean, I think like the tech is a ministry. It's like a ministry that supports other ministries, which I think is actually quite special about the tech team. In that, you know, the music, you know, we can play, but I feel like unless you've got the tech time involved, I mean, all, you know, words are quite hard to remember all the time, and also to help balance the sound as it comes out. I think it just improves the quality of the worship that we do, and obviously for the speaker, some speakers, you know, different, the ability to project their voice can be quite different and variable with the many speakers that we have, and so I think it's, you know, very important to help the speaker communicate what they're trying to, and
Do you have any formal training to do tech?
No. It's more of a apprenticeship type style of teaching, you know, just join and, what we've kind of learned through doing tech and kind of gets passed down,
Is it like an exclusive club?
It's not like an exclusive club. It's not like an exclusive, just, if anyone is keen to join tech, just let me know, yeah.
You came from Palmerston North. Why did you choose to attend the ACPC?
I chose the teenage PC. I mean, I was looking for a church at the time, my mum actually knows Auntie Glenda, which I'm not sure I've ever, and recommended this church to me, and so I came and I, you know, quickly came a part of it, but I also found that it's a church that really welcomes involvement of their members, and so I felt that it was. I could serve here and make a difference, and I thought that was important to me when in terms of choosing a church to go to. Yeah.
How do you think God reacts when someone who isn't very good at singing sings worship?
Oh.
Good luck with this one.
Well, seeing that I still sing, you know, the skill is obviously not the main part of what God, I guess, is pleased with worship. And I mean, it's all about the heart of worship, and we sing in the song the heart of worship as well. So given that my limited ability, I would like to think at least, yeah, that God is pleased with the heart of a worshipper more than the skill of a worshipper. Yeah.
Yay. Is this something you wish the congregation would do more of, or would stop doing during the worship?
I think there's a couple of things that I think would improve our worship of God, and the first is, and I think that our churches could probably be better at, is just kind of being here on time, and I think that's I think. And I mean, it's not just because that, you know, just to be punctual, but I think that it's important to have this a time before the service just to prepare your heart for the service as well. Given that we've got a lot of other things on our mind, especially during the week, it's I find it sometimes, even for myself as well, to when you come in here, to actually have your mind focused on God. And so the second point is that I think that when we do worship, often we can be distracted by other things. And so I guess I would the main point would just be to, you know, when we are worshiping, to actually focus on God and try and keep out all those other distractions that the world throws at us. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Jono, is it hard to find what to talk about when you're leading service?
I think it certainly requires a lot of thought. What I tend to do is I'll get the sermon topic for a week ahead of time, and then really spend the week sort of mulling over the topic, and I guess then think about what examples I could bring, perhaps from my own life or from Bible readings that I've been sort of meditating on through the week. Sometimes that means that it can be difficult, you know, and you get to sort of, you know, Friday, Saturday, and you're still sort of maybe choosing between a couple of examples, but I guess worst case is that, you know, there are so many examples of great things that God has done, and sometimes it's worth sharing something that might not be specifically related to that topic as much as you'd like to, and that might resonate with people in a different way as well on that day. So there are plenty of examples of things that you can talk about, you know, and I've found, obviously, in my life with having Justin, that, you know, each and every day when we're putting Justin to sleep, Nancy and I just look at each other and we just say, wow, isn't God amazing, you know? And you can't necessarily share each of those with the service on Sunday, but yeah.
Do you enjoy public speaking?
I do. I've come to enjoy it more and more. I remember reading or being told about stats that say people fear public speaking more than death. So it's obviously widespread. But like many things, it's something that you can get better at the more you practice and the more you do. And actually looking back at my own sort of development, the church actually had a big part to play in that. I know in school you'd have maybe one speech a year kind of thing, but at church, getting involved in things like today, where, you know, as a child helping lead the service or be involved in a play or something like that, or even Bible readings and things, and obviously service leading, they've all come to help contribute to my development in terms of public speaking.
Mm. How is leading a group of people in prayer different from praying alone?
I think there's a few aspects to that. Obviously, when you're praying alone, you can choose whether or not to pray out loud or not. When you're leading people in prayer, often you need to pray out loud. And there's an art to helping sort of say out loud the things that you're thinking in your head. And that wasn't a very good example, but verbalize, that was the word I was looking for. And there's often, you know, other sort of considerations as well. So when I'm preparing to lead people in prayer, often I'll have a list of things that I want to pray about so that when I'm praying, I can just work my way through that list. And obviously, other things that might come to mind, I can insert as God prompts.
From a Christian perspective, what kind of challenges do you think you have bringing up Justin in today's world?
I think at the moment, when Justin's very, very young and he's just, you know, he's only just started walking and things like that and talking, it's obviously still, you know, trying to be a good role model. That sort of runs right through. But it's more being about trying to rearrange, I guess, our lives to still make sure that God's the focus, you know. And that's been difficult. You know, even church attendance and that sort of thing. There are some weeks where it just doesn't happen, and other weeks where we just make the effort to attend. And he's often at the back. Sometimes he's screaming his head off, and other times he's really good eating, just nibbling away at the back. But as he grows up, I think there'll be a lot of distractions for Justin as he grows up. The people that he grows up with won't necessarily share the same values as we would as Christians, you know. And so helping to guide Justin in the Christian way, and to bring him up in this environment where he comes to love Jesus for himself and understand what Christianity is all about. That's the main challenge, really.
Okay. Thank you for sitting here and talking today.
But I think in order to encourage one another, we need to get to know each other. So fellowship, I think, is also important here. The potluck dinners that we have, morning tea, I think is great. I really encourage you guys maybe today try and speak to someone that you haven't spoken to before or don't know as well. I think that's really important. So with that in mind, can we get our next group of people? So John, Auntie Jean, and Rob. Blake's going to come and give another reading, and Amelia interviewing them. I don't think any of these three need an introduction.
We should, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. We should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. Some people have got out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we mustn't do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since, you know, the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer.
Thank you. So first up, we have Auntie Jean. So Auntie Jean, you've been here for quite a long time. So how do you think ACPC has changed over the years?
Right. Well, I came here in 1960. So that's a long time. You weren't thought of then. Yes, what happened is that my father was a Presbyterian minister in Dunedin. And then in 1960, we did a swap with the minister in Auckland. So I came here in 1960 as a teenager. Now, it's quite a bit different from when it is now, how it is now. Yeah.
Has anything stayed the same?
There's a Cantonese service, that stayed the same. And this church hall was here, so that stayed the same.
And what do you think is your favourite thing about ACPC?
Favourite thing? Well, when we first came to up to Auckland, the minister did everything, and the minister's family. So the minister's minister took all the Bible study groups, and in fact the only Bible study group really was the Women's Fellowship. Not sure why there wasn't a men's one. And then the Sunday school and the Bible class. So we had Chinese lessons. We had Chinese lessons at 10 o'clock. And then we had Sunday school at 10:30 and the service at 11. So that's quite different. And it's good now. Oh, and the the minister's family used to come every Saturday to clean the church and clean the hall and everything. So, so those things have changed, and what's good now is that the work is shared, and there's lots more people leading worship and Bible study.
Yeah, definitely, and you put a lot of time and effort into ACPC. Why do you sacrifice so much time and effort for our church?
Well, my favourite verse from the Bible is probably the same as most other people, and that is that we love our God with all our heart and all our strength and all our soul, and our neighbours as ourself. So with that in mind, I think it's sort of not a sacrifice. Although my husband won't say that, he'll say it is. But yeah, I think seeing everybody joining in, sharing like worship and worship and helping out in the church, that's just been a real blessing. And I know I read somewhere that when you love God, you love your neighbour. And when you love your when you love God, you love your neighbour more. And when you love your neighbour, you love God more. So coming to church, being part of worship, and being on the roster. Sorry, anyone? Anyone not on the roster would like to be? That's all part of it. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Let's move on to John here. So, John, how do you stay positive? Is there anything that upsets you in day-to-day life?
I think if you look at the world of today, yes, it would be easy to get upset, but the anchor is your faith, and that's what keeps you going. As Gina said, that opportunity, the potential to know God through Jesus Christ.
And definitely. So moving on, what is your sermon writing process?
The primary ingredient of writing a sermon is prayer. Before you do anything, you approach the fact that you're to preach on a certain date with that knowledge of your own unworthiness before God, and the realization that you have the privilege of standing with the open word of God and allowing that word to be come through you to the people who will be gathered there. And so the important ingredient is prayer.
Definitely. And you have recently become a member of ACPC. Why do you think this was important to you?
I think it was important because for a number of years now, as you know, I've been part of the family here, and it's very much felt, and I remember Marty saying to me ages ago, "Oh, your family, and I felt that right from the very beginning, and it's been wonderful, particularly when, in my case, I have no family of my own. And so in a very real sense, ACPC are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And to just take that final step of saying to the church, yes, I'm ready, if you'll accept me to come into full membership, was very special for me.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, let's move on to Uncle Robert. what do you get out of home groups that you don't really get out of just going to church every Sunday?
I think home groups are a great opportunity to get to know people better, because you see this smaller group of people every week or every 2 weeks. And you got more time to talk about whatever issues you want to talk about. Along with that, home groups are an opportunity to get into, the Bible, to study all kinds of issues in a really interactive way. So, here someone comes and preaches, and it's pretty much a one-way, it doesn't necessarily have to be, but it's pretty much usually like a one-way message. But if you've got questions, if you've got issues that you want to bring up, then home groups are a really good place to deal with that, and it's a lot of fun to do that.
Aside from holding home groups, you also teach Sunday school. So what do you reckon is the hardest thing about teaching Sunday school?
I think that it's hard because it's hard to see exactly what impact you're having. You know, we have Sunday school lessons, and then sometimes you ask kids, you know, what did we do last week? And they're like, oh, I can't remember. It can be discouraging. You know, and when you talk to older Christians who've been through Sunday school, they tell you things like, oh, I don't remember any of my Sunday school lessons, but I feel like I got a lot out of it. You know, it helped me develop my faith in some other, you know. And so I think the effects of Sunday school probably take a long time to work out. And, of course, when you're trying to do Sunday school, teach Sunday school and try to do a better job, not having a quick feedback about that is challenging.
Well, what do you reckon is the best thing about teaching Sunday school?
I mean, the best thing about it is, oh, I don't know about the best thing, it's hard to say, but it's a great opportunity, right? I mean, kids, you know, I've got my kids who are actually in my Sunday school class, which is kind of weird, but how it is. You know, but you know, we've got these kids, and it's such an important age, and I think that it's great to have the chance to try to explain things to kids. You hear a lot of stories from people who have gone through Sunday school, and in the end, they didn't turn out Christian, right? They a lot of people who've gone through Sunday school have ended up not being Christian, and that to me is kind of sad. And sometimes they have kind of stories about how things they didn't like about Sunday school. Maybe people couldn't answer their questions, or they didn't get a chance to ask the questions they wanted to ask, things like that. And I think it's really important to me to hopefully our kids in our Sunday school don't feel that way, that we can actually engage and that they can actually get what they need out of it.
And a final question, what is your hope of how Sunday school will impact your kids?
Yeah, I mean, I want people to know that, you know, that the things that we teach, the things that we believe, are kind of grounded. That I want the kids to learn that there are reasons to believe these things and to follow Jesus that aren't just because their parents do. And I want them to know that just because their parents are Christian or go to church they have to make their own decisions, and they will make their own decisions sooner or later. And I want kids to understand that and know that that's what they're going to do. You know, they're going to decide one way or the other, and I want to give them the best information to make those decisions that I can.
Oh, well, definitely. All right. Thank you guys so much. this concludes our second interview session, and yeah.
All right. Thanks, Helia. So the last reason for church is reaching out to the community. So just to summarize, the first was worshiping God. The second was encouraging each other and learning from each other. And the third is reaching out to the community. So I think you can see the pattern there. So I think our church is kind of uniquely placed, I guess, in the city to do this. I think as individual Christians, we all have a responsibility to reach out both in spreading the gospel and in meeting people's physical needs. But I think God works in multiplication rather than addition. And when we do things together, we can achieve things that we couldn't, you know, separately and individually. So with that, in the final interviews, can I ask Reverend Stuart, Marty and Jenny to come up, please. Blake, again, to give the Bible reading. And Avery to do the interviews. So you've probably all heard Reverend Stuart talk about all the many outreach programs that he's got in place. Marty's very passionate about evangelism, and hopefully you can speak to that today. And Auntie Jenny is a part of a missions organization, which most of you would have heard of, the one-to-one. Thanks, Blake.
Romans 10, verses 13 to 14. All who call out to the Lord will be saved. How can people have faith in the Lord and ask him to save them if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear unless someone tells them?
Hi. I guess we'll start with Stuart. Yeah. Why did you become a pastor?
Why do we have a pastor?
Why did you become a pastor?
Oh, why did I become a pastor? Okay. You're not Graham Norton, are you?
No.
You don't have one of those?
No.
Okay, good. You know, he flips back. Why did I become a pastor? I'd got back from Germany when I was doing teaching, and nobody would give me a job, and I had no money, essentially. going back a step prior to that, in Germany, one of the things I was kind of stunned by was, you know, I was teaching this class where 19-year-olds who had cousins in what was then East Germany, it was still under communism, and they had never seen these cousins. And they couldn't bring themselves to say East Germany, they said Drüben, which means over there. And the complexity of life and the difficulties people get themselves into really struck me at that time. And so that was one of the things that really forced me to start to think about the deeper issues of life and how you resolve those and what it was that made life worth living. I'd actually become a Christian at university and sort of wondering what I was going to do, going to become a teacher. But then I thought, no, there were some deeper issues and God might be calling. And indeed he was. So I went through this, then when he was interested in how you do this, I talked to the minister at the time, who then took the parish council, who then sent it off to the local presbytery. And they're all blind enough to accept me. So then I ended up at theological college.
That's cool. Yeah, okay. What are some of the things that people might not know that you do as a pastor?
One of the things that, when you sent those questions, one of the things that occurred to me was that sometimes, on occasions, I've been asked to come and bless a house which has supposedly got a ghost in it, and the last one was had water coming down the wall. And one of the difficult things to do is to know whether you need to pray for an exorcist or a good plumber, because you weren't quite sure what's going on. So one of the issues can be that sort of thing. Another one that came to mind was one of my first funerals was in Tawa in Wellington, and only I and the funeral director turned up, and apart from the deceased, he was there. But there was only the two of us, and what do you do in a funeral when there's nobody there? And so what do you pray for? One was in Taiwan at 11:30 at night among one of the indigenous people groups. So yes, you do end up with some interesting things.
That's cool. Uncle Marty, you're on the Ministry Settlement Board. What are you looking for in our new pastor?
Oh, okay. It's out of order here, but that's all right. I think, firstly, I'd like to say that, you know, we're very grateful for Stuart's work, and by finding a new minister is not sort of saying in any way that Stuart's deficient anyway. But I think there are a lot of the qualities we're looking for. Actually, what we've Stuart showed us an example of humility and someone who has a real heart for the gospel and a heart for the people in the city.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Oh yeah. Back to you, Stuart.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I wrote these down in the wrong order. What are some of the goals for ACPC in the near future, and how can we as a congregation help to achieve those goals?
Well, I think one of the things is that this area around ACPC is growing very substantially, very quickly. 10 years ago, there were about 2,000 people on this eastern side of Queen Street. Now there's about 15,000. And just in this block, there's about 1,200 people living here. One of the things we really need to do, I think, if the church isn't going forward, it's going backwards. And we need to be reaching out. And one of the things I remember from the early cell groups was if there was 11 people in the cell group, there'd be 12 chairs. And that would remind us that there was somebody not present in the service and in the cell group. So I think we need to keep working on the kind of things that we've been doing, whether it's a Mother's Day outreach with children's books and feminine products, or whether it's the Anzac biscuits. And I think the key thing about it is creating relationships and just going into the local places along the street and getting to know people. And you never come back empty-handed. There's always some conversation, something that's happened, and somebody said something that really gives you a buzz in terms of creating a relationship which leads to trust and confidence, which leads to them opening up about their issues and questions, and then you earn the right to talk about faith. So what I hope for is that not that everybody in this block and this part of Auckland becomes a Christian in the near future, that's probably unrealistic, but that everybody in this area knows there's a place to come where they find grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, and a welcome and a loving spirit there, so that they this is their home, even if they don't at this point own Christ as their own.
Thank you. Uncle Marty, why are you so passionate about evangelism?
That was kind of an interesting question. I don't know if I was actually that passionate about evangelism, but you know, I'll try to answer it anyway. I mean, I think one of the things, firstly, when we talk about evangelism, which I find a bit challenging, is that, you know, which I've always found challenging, is that there's a sort of perception that you're trying to sell something, you know, and I find that kind of irks me, you know, because we're not trying to sell something. We're not salespeople who are trying to sell a product and stuff like that. But evangelism, I think, is, actually I looked it up today, is like literally the passing of good news, because evangelism was all about the gospel, and the gospel was good news. And the reason it's good news, and when we think about good news, it's like, for example, a friend of mine a few years ago found out that she was cancer-free. And that's great news, and she wanted to tell everyone she loved about this good news. And we had this good news, which is how Jesus changes lives and changes communities. And I suppose for me, why I'm motivated is that we have such great news in Christ, and that Christ changes us and has the ability to change culture and the city for the good. And I'm hoping that that we can be a part of that, and we have a responsibility to be a part of that as well. Yeah.
How do you think ACPC is doing with outreach?
I think it's doing a great job. I mean, you know, I think one thing I find really encouraging is just the, even though we're very small, I think the participation rate is very high. And also I think that the heart is in the right place, in the sense that, you know, we're not doing this just for trying to be pretend to be good people, but because we want to be to make a difference. And you know, in the spirit of Martin Luther, you know, Martin Luther says that, you know, we're saved by faith alone, but faith that doesn't remain alone. And I think just with Stuart's and other people's initiatives, and just, you know, Tea and Talk and the potluck, and especially, I think I don't post very much on Facebook. I'm just a stalker, stalker Facebook. But I did actually post something about how I think we were sorting out clothes and stuff like that for the city mission and stuff like that. And I did a post, and I said, actually, it's great to be part of this community, to people who actually really care for other people. So well done, everyone, and keep up the good work. Yeah.
Now to Auntie Jenny.
Auntie Jenny.
Hello.
tell us a bit about what you do on your missions.
Oh, that's a very big question. I think for me it's fitting in, and bearing in mind that I've been to Cambodia, Timor and Myanmar, it's different because people speak different languages, and it's I feel completely out of my depth every single time, and the heat, and we're with people we don't know well. So I'm there as part of a big team, except for the last one. It was just Tony and myself, but that was not so hard because Myanmar being an ex-British colony, there were a lot of English-speaking people, and I just do what I can. Does that answer the question? Mm-hmm. It's so broad.
Mm, yeah. Oh. Yeah, what role does God play on your mission trips?
Much bigger than what it does for me at home, because I'm out of my comfort zone and I feel much more needy. And I think around in the communities that we visit, they don't have very much. There's poverty is huge, and the need there is very much bigger. So I think for myself and for them, I pray a lot more. My faith is a lot more meaningful than, I think, because at home I'm comfortable. I've got running water, I've got a pantry full of food, The car's full of gas. I just, all my wishes are met, really. And when you go to a very poor community, a very poor country, I'm dealing with people who don't know when their next meal is coming from. They don't have parents because we visit orphanages, we visit slums, and it's dirty, it's no running water, they don't really have power. It's hard. I find it's hard.
What kind of skills do people need to go on these missions?
I think a heart for God and really just wanting to be there. And I think the people, I've met a wide variety of people that go with one-to-one, from students to people who are highly trained, like medical people and dental people. But there's so much to be done. I think just being kind and being generous, and I think just talking to people makes a huge difference because they all want to learn English. And some people have quite a strong command of English and some people are just beginning at their beginning level of learning English. So I think just kindness and generosity and giving and time. Don't need to be a university graduate or anything.
So what do you think is the toughest thing about going on these missions?
Say that again.
What do you think is the toughest thing that's about going on these missions?
I think third world conditions. It's physically challenging. And often we plan to do activities on a certain day, but plan A doesn't happen. Then we go on to plan B, and then half an hour later it's all changed to plan C. And then this is just before breakfast. It's you just have to go with the flow. And often it's not within our control or even the control of the people we're with. And we just go on to the next plan. And it's not knowing what's happening next. I think that's, just go with it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
We have a very special guest here today. Matt, would you like to stand up? Matt Chamberlain is the National Coordinator for Youth Ministries for PCANZ. So I suppose he's come to check up on us today and came. So we'll be getting a rating on the website, right? Yeah, okay. But do feel. But yes, no, but do feel free to talk to Matt about the youth programs afterwards. Great, thanks, Matt. There.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us in our church. Thank you for giving us the leadership team at ACPC to guide us. Please give them strength and wisdom and help us to share the love from you to the communities around us. We pray for those who are less fortunate than us that do not have the things that we take for granted. We pray for those countries suffering through war and natural disasters. Please help us to put our faith into action so we can help those who are in need and share your good news to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.